You know, the Lord doesn't always do everything the ordinary way, and the ladies sang this morning. I want them to get ready to sing tonight, but before they do, where's Jimmy at? Jimmy? See if we can get four mics on up here, fellas, and the preacher. I need alto. Somebody volunteer? There he is right there. Sonia, come on. Where you at?
Hey,
I'll never forget. It's been a long time. Brother Frank can tell you how long, probably, but he was my pastor, and I had a quartet in the church, and men quartet. We sang this song. I think that's probably about the last time I ever sang it. He said, "Boy, you carried that for a ride, didn't you?" He'll remember it when we sing it.
I might need two microphones for this song, Bill.
Testing.
34. Testing.
I remember the time.
I remember the time when in darkness I wandered farther from home.
On the mountain of sin.
On the mountain of sin I traveled so long. I traveled so long.
Like the prodigal son.
Like the prodigal son. All my goods I have squandered. Sadly I'm ruined.
But the Savior came in
and he gave me a song. It was a beautiful song. I can tell you the time. I can show you the place
where the Lord saved me.
Where the Lord saved me by his wonderful grace. By his wonderful grace.
Why
I know not the how.
But he'll tell me all about it.
He'll tell me all about it in the by and by and the by and by.
Just a sinner was I.
Just a sinner was I. Far away from my Savior, going alone.
With no hope of reward.
With no reward.
Savior came down.
But the Savior came down and he gave me his favor over his own.
Now I'm singing his praise.
Now I'm singing his praise for he saved me that day. He saved me that day.
I can take you to the place.
I can show you the place
where the Lord saved me.
Where the Lord saved me by his wonderful grace. By his wonderful grace.
I cannot tell you how.
Oh, I know not the how.
And I cannot tell you why.
And I know not the why.
But he'll tell me all about it.
He'll tell me all about it in the by and by. In the by and by.
Must not be very good out there, but it's good up here. No little old bunk crawling up and down my back. Hallelujah. Take my mind back to that time, Brother Frank. Hallelujah. Go ahead, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
I can never forget.
I can never forget when he spoke to me gently. Follow thou me
in the fountain of life.
In the mountain of life, there's a balm for your soul. There's a balm for your soul.
So I heeded his voice.
So I heeded his voice. He was speaking intently. Gladly I see
through his marvelous grace.
Through his marvelous grace, I am happy and whole. I am happy.
I can take you to the place.
I can show you the place
where the Lord saved me.
Where the Lord saved me by his wonderful grace. By his wonderful grace.
tell you how.
Oh, I know not the how.
And I cannot tell you why.
And I know not the how.
But he'll tell me all about it.
He will tell me all about it
in the by and by.
Now the time.
I can tell you the time.
I can take you to the place.
I can show you the place
where the Lord saved me.
Where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. By His wonderful grace.
But I cannot tell you how.
Oh, I know not the how.
And I cannot tell you why.
And I know not the why.
But He'll tell me all about it.
He will tell me all about it in the by and by. In the by.
Y'all come ahead.
Oh, how happy I will be when life's morning here shall come, and I look upon His face, and fought a faithful fight, and my child, you've kept the faith. Enter now, my joys are yours, so just step
just inside the gate, 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 just inside the gate.
Daddy too, sisters, brothers will be there, heaven's joys with them I'll share. Then I'll hear little David play, meet my Jesus on that day. Heaven's joys for me await when I step just inside the gate. Inside the gate.
Forevermore.
Just inside the gate.
Yes, all of
just inside the gate.
crown.
Just inside the gate.
No more to die.
Just inside the gate.
A crown of love.
Just inside the gate.
You've
just
won.
Inside the gate.
You're safe at
just
last.
Just inside the gate.
All sorrows
just
past.
Inside the gate.
A mansion
just
need.
Inside the gate.
Forevermore.
Just inside the gate.
Yes, all of
just thee. Inside the gate.
Faith in you, Lord, whenever things of this world tumble down, let me feel your presence near me, and know you, Lord, are always around. Sometimes the load I can't carry, but with your help I can be made strong. Lord, I know without you I'm nothing. If you've not come face to face
with Jesus and His saving grace, then you've known nothing until you've known God and His love. Oh, from out of sin, where He has drawn. Oh. Until you know God and His love, then you've known nothing until you know God and His love.
Feel like singing the next step. Ron's a little sick there now.
Why worry? Your steps are slow. If your life has been spent for Jesus, you don't have much farther to go. And the next touch you feel, He could be blessing your soul. Be strong now and keep on going.
Yeah, sing it, LeBron.
Don't be angry when things turn out wrong.
Right.
Don't give up, for it's almost over.
You believe that? Say amen. Amen.
All the signs are pointing.
Yes.
Lord, home.
Yes, sing it, Jimmy.
For the next hand you shake might be the hand.
What about that? Amen.
Of the Savior. The next step you take could be on street.
Yes.
Of purest gold. And your next could be the marriage supper.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, the singing's been great as usual, and I really do appreciate it in the bottom of my heart. I appreciate these who are visiting with us tonight, Sister Lois, Fred and Bessie Lanier used to be their pastor, and Doyle and Margaret used to be their pastor, and I'm glad they're here Amen. Tonight visiting with us. Roy and Shirley, glad they visited with us. Ron, the Ron Hudson family, and nice family, glad they visited with us today and tonight. We're delighted to have you folks. Thank you for coming. Sagan used to be their pastor. I looked back there a while ago and saw Doyle and Margaret, and I thought about the time that Catherine and Phyllis and then went up to the Smoky Mountains and was going around the curves. We went that road, the real curvy road, and Phyllis was a little bitty thing. She said, "Daddy, I got to get in the front. I'm getting sick." And we went a little further. Margaret Ann said, "Preacher, I got to get in the front. I'm getting sick." And I told Doyle, I said, "You can get sick if you want to, but you're not going to get up here and crowd me out." And he made it, and then we lost Phyllis going around a curve there in Bryson City. She fell out of the car. Just thought about all this a while ago, and I'm so glad that y'all are with us tonight. I really mean that. They belong to our church down in Lafette, and then I've been in revival there, by the way. Down at Emmanuel, the last Sunday in this month, be a Brush Arbor meeting, and I'd like for you to pray for us, and if you've never been in one of these, you ought to go down one night. It'd be a blessing. You'd enjoy it. If you have your Bibles, open them to Acts chapter 27. Just going to preach a short message tonight, I feel. But I hope that you'll pray that God would bless. Hope that you receive something from the message tonight. And I hope it'll be a source of strength to you. Go on to read, usually I read just a few verses or maybe one or two verses and take a text. Tonight I want to read several verses and maybe cut down a little bit more on the preliminaries. But the Bible said in Acts chapter 27 and verse 18, "And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with for our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Boy, it's awful not to have hope. "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sat with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. When the 14th night was gone, and we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country." I believe it's about midnight, and I believe we're nearing the shore. Amen. Verse 28, "They sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Except these abide in the ship, you can't be saved.'" Father, I pray tonight that you'd have your way. Thank you for the Word of God. I'm glad that it hasn't changed, the Lord. People change, fads change, seasons change, churches change, preachers change. But I'm glad the Word of God's the same. We may rearrange it, but I'm glad it's the same. And I'm glad that, that we have the precious Word of God to lead us in our daily lives, to guide us in our problems and straighten us out in our weaknesses. Have your way for Christ's sake. Amen. How many of you going to pray for me for 10 minutes? Will you raise? I mean, raise them high, 10 minutes. Boy, I get them up there when I say that. Well, if you'll pray 10 minutes, I can coast to 30. That'll give me 40. So that'll be about enough. Amen. I want to talk tonight from this thought and Jerry, I'm glad you did listen today anyway. Amen. You got up here talking about this. I want to talk tonight for just a little while on don't jump overboard. Amen. Don't jump overboard. Now, in this scripture, that's exactly what these folks were getting ready to do, and that was to jump overboard. Amen. To throw in the towel and say, it's no use, I'm just going to quit. Well, I want to say to you tonight very humbly, if you can quit, you ought to quit. Amen. I mean, if you can quit and get by, it'd be the best thing in the world for this church if you'd just go ahead. Now, I don't want to lose anybody. I'm the worst loser you ever seen in your life, but I still, Brother Phil, have to face reality. And I know when you got a bunch of quitters around you, you're in a mess. Amen. Praise God. We need to just take the harness off, let go, and let God have His way in our hearts and in our lives, and stay with the stuff. Amen. We need to stay with the stuff. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. Somebody said, so-and-so, I think the world of them. They're a good loser. Well, I don't know anything about that, because I'm not a good loser. I tell you, I'm not a good loser. I mean that. But David, on one occasion, he said, now this was a man after God's own heart, and David said, I'm ready to halt. Have you ever felt that way? I'm ready to halt. Nobody cares about me. Nobody appreciates me. Nobody is concerned about me. So I'm ready to throw in the towel and holler calf rope. Why? Are you serving man? If you are, you're in a mess. I'm not serving man. I don't look for men's applause. I really don't. If I get them, fine. I appreciate them. But it don't bother me if I don't get them. And I mean that. But we need to stay. David said, I'm ready to halt. He saw the wicked and how they prospered in everything that they did almost. And he said, David said, I think I'll go to the sanctuary and get up all my jobs and quit. We don't need anybody to quit their jobs. We need people taking interest in their jobs. Okay, what kind of job you got? Jerry's got a little job, but he takes interest in it. And I thank God for that. He appreciates that. Bessie got a job now, and she appreciates that. And I know she does. And that's the way that it all is. We've got a job, we ought to appreciate it. And we ought to be thankful for it. And we ought to go with it. A little girl teaching Sunday school called our superintendent this week and said, I'm so excited. I've never been this excited in my life, or something thereabouts, about my Sunday school class. Well, I couldn't wait to look at it. Amen. Look at it. I couldn't wait to look inside. Boy, she had it fixed pretty. Had her door fixed pretty. You know what? She is telling the truth, wasn't she? Amen. She is excited. That's what we need. David said, David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man that said on one occasion, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's the one that said, I love the Lord because He's heard my voice and my supplications. He's the one that said, one thing have I desired to the Lord, that will I seek after all the days of my life. Yet here he is saying, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to throw in the towel. Now, I don't know. I've heard my daddy say that he never did think about quitting but once. You'd have to know my daddy, but I really believe he meant that. And the devil had really given him a black eye. Some of his dearest friends, or at least were supposed to be his dearest friends, had done him a grave injustice. Grave injustice. Brother Howard Holcomb talked with me about this, and he said, I went down the road. I don't know what I was even doing in Cedartown. Howard lived in Rome all of his life. But he said, I just got up in a few hours, I was down at Cedartown. And he said, you know how that street down the furnace fields away from everything, you don't go by there unless you're going home. And I said, yeah. He said, I found myself riding by your daddy, just sitting on the porch. Said he had his hands, his head over in his hands. He looked like he was 150 years old. He said, stop. About myself, I thought two or three times. And people always take this wrong when I say, boy, I'll be glad when it comes time for me to retire. I don't mean I want to quit preaching. I don't mean that. I just mean that, I just mean, you know, I'll be glad when that time. I think I will. I've never have been there yet, and I'm getting closer, of course, getting closer all the time. But I think I am. But David, after he wrote all these things, he's ready to quit. I'm going to go down to church and I'm going to give up all my jobs. Well, I'm going to tell you something, Sunday school teacher. If you do that, that little boy or girl in that class that thinks you're the sweetest thing this side of heaven, there's a possibility, strong possibility, that they might just, you know, die without God someday. I mean, I'm talking about if you're a real teacher and that kid really loves you and has confidence in you. You say, well, I'm not the only one. You might be to them. Amen. You might be to them. If you thought about quitting the choir, boy, this would be a good time to do that. Max is not here today. It'd be a good time just to go ahead and give her up. But I tell you, we don't need to quit. What we need to do, praise God, is work a little bit harder. Amen. David said, I'm going to go to the church house and I'm going to resign. Well, what he actually said, I'm going to halt. That is, go down to the sanctuary, resign on the job and quit. Amen. I'm going to say this. We've got a lot of folks in the church tonight, and I'm not just talking about Parkway. I'm talking about the church world in general. They're on today and off tomorrow. On today and off tomorrow. In and out. We need some folks who will just get in here and stay in here. Amen. Now, you're not going to like everything that happens over here. My goodness alive. We've got over 1,000 people on our church book. You think you're going to like all of them and every one of them's ways? Why, certainly not. We're gonna come to that place where we are going to want to halt sometime. But I'll tell you, I can't quit. Jeremiah said this thing of quitting. He said, I thought about it, but it's like fire shut up in my bosom. Amen. Praise God. That's what we need to do is get on fire for God. Get this fire burning in our bosom. And then we won't want to quit. Every time somebody says boo, every time somebody looks cross-eyed at us, we won't want to quit. We'll look over and praise God. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, this, that, and the other happened, but under the circumstances. You ever heard of her to say that? Under the circumstances, I guess it's all right. I still listen to that First Baptist Church at Cleveland every Sunday morning, and they've got another good preacher. They lost a dandy. But they got another one, and he's preaching this morning. He said that. He said, folks will say, well, under the circumstances, I guess I'm all right. He said, you need to get out from under and bless God and get on top of them. Amen. I agree with that. How about you? Amen. Well, here, talking about don't jump overboard or stay with the ship, use the ship as a type of the church. I know these are times. I know they are when each one of us, maybe at one time or the other, I promise you that the greater percent at least has thought about just quitting, giving up. Want to throw in the towel and say, it's no use here in Acts 27. Paul told the folks, he said, what you're doing, you're taking, by loosening from Crete, he said, you're taking a tremendous chance. And he said, you're going to get in trouble on down the line. He said, you should have listened to me. Amen. You should have listened to me. That's what Paul said. He said, I told you I was going to have problems, but you thought when you felt the south wind blowing softly that everything's going to be all right. He said, I told you that you couldn't go by that. Told you you're going to have problems. But he said, just stay with the ship. Don't jump overboard. Amen. Don't jump overboard. Stay where you're at. Amen. I challenge you tonight. Don't jump overboard. Stay with the stuff. Stay with the ship. Amen. Just about to get the cart before the horse in spite of all I can do. But I've said this and you've heard me say it. Most folks don't need a preacher. Amen. They don't need a preacher. What they want is somebody to visit their sick folks. Bear the kids. Run errands. Amen. Doesn't matter what the preacher says. Doesn't matter how hard he preaches on visitation, on using your talents, on giving your tithes. It don't matter how the preacher preaches on that, on gossiping and backbiting. Most folks go right ahead and do as they please. Amen. Most of them do. Don't need a preacher. But I'll tell you, we need some preaching. And we need some preachers who will preach. Amen. They'll preach and say, stay with the ship. Don't jump overboard. Yes, you need a preacher. You need a preacher that'll preach. Then all these other things are secondary things. Every one of them is secondary things. Amen. Now I'm telling you that the going has got rough here, and it's going to get rough for us. And there are things that they had on this ship. Now listen, there's things that was on this ship that wasn't absolutely necessary for them to have. And then there was things on the ship that was necessary. But the first thing that happened, after a while, they got rid of, now listen, they got rid of everything that wasn't absolutely necessary. And that's exactly what every one of us tonight in this room ought to do. We ought to get rid of everything that's not absolute. We ought to get rid of everything that we don't really need in this spiritual warfare. Amen. Unnecessary things. Paul said, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, necessary things and things that are not absolutely necessary, but get rid of all of them. You know what the going thing is today? That's people spend hundreds and even thousands of dollars for that's. And I thought a long time about the spiritual that. That people are on, or ought to be on. Paul said, if you want to get rid of some of this stuff, lay it aside. Amen, lay it aside. He said these weights and these sins, necessary things, and things maybe that aren't necessary. Amen. Get rid of them. Then after 14 days, they eat some meat. And then in verse 38, it said they threw out the wheat into the sea. Now, they had already got rid of the things that weren't necessary. And now they're getting rid of the necessary things. That's necessary for a man to have things to eat if he's going to live. He'll starve to death after several days if he doesn't have something to eat. And this bread and this meat, they'd been 14 days without eating. And Paul said, all right, now eat some meat and some bread. and then throw the wheat into the ocean. Get rid of that. Amen. But stay with the ship. Don't you jump overboard. You just get rid of all them things that's bothering you and keeping this ship from going like it ought to go. Get rid of all them and we'll be a lot better off. I can say tonight to the folks here in the Parkway Baptist Temple, if you and I said that, you and I, that means, of course, me, maybe number one, if we can get rid of everything that's bothering us, we can be happy. Somebody said, I can't be happy until you're gone. Lord God, there ain't no telling how long you may be miserable then. I might hang around here and die and live to be as old as Methuselah. Wouldn't that be something? I'm telling you tonight, we need to lay aside every weight. And those things that are bothering us, we need to throw them in the ocean. Get rid of them. Amen. These folks were ready to jump overboard. Paul said, suit yourself, but except you're here, but except you're abiding the ship, you can't be saved. Amen. He said, the Lord's angel, the angel of the Lord told me that. He said he stood by me this night. And he said, I want you to know I believe God. Amen. Boy, if you was on a ship about to go under, wouldn't you love to have somebody on there with you that believed God? Huh? Wouldn't you love to have somebody with you on there that believed God? Maybe some old preacher that you've hated and couldn't stand. But you'd love to have him somewhere around. Amen. When the going got rough. That's right. The going got rough and they got rid of the things. Amen. Many today, James, are jumping overboard. I mean, there's a lot of folks tonight that used to never miss church, but they've jumped ship. They've jumped ship. They're just out there in the ocean, just floundering around. Somebody needs to throw them a lifeline and see if they'll catch it. We need to offer to help them. The first thing Paul said now, after here, he told them not to be afraid, said he believed God. One of the angels stood by, and then Paul began to talk to him, and he said, yes, if you look out there, the winds are contrary. Amen. He said, if you look here at the ship, it's reeling and rocking, to and fro. But he said, you know, you can tell by looking at the waves. It's a lot better in here than it is out there. Amen. He said, you better stay with the ship. I'm telling you tonight, the church is not perfect. My goodness alive. People in the church are not perfect because we're human. And humans sometimes forget. Amen. So remind me, dear Lord. Paul said you better stay with the ship. Amen. He said you've got rid of everything now. It'd be foolish for you to jump out. I can't keep all of you in here. It'd be impossible. I can't get around to all of you. You that are going to stay with the ship have to help me. You need to help me. And I'm telling you tonight, I need your help. Amen. I need your help. We don't need folks to jump ship. We need folks to get in here and go to work for God. Amen. We need folks to get in here and go to work for God. Is that right? And then Paul said, I'll tell you why let me go back for just a minute. Paul said the water's bad. And I'll tell you again, everything about the church is not perfect. But I want you to know, and I want you to look right up here, look right at me. I want you to know some of the best people that ever walked on the face of this earth are walking on it tonight. Amen. They're walking on it tonight. It takes more grace to live for God tonight than it ever has. I believe that. There's more dope, more alcohol, more free love, more permissiveness than there's ever been in the history of this world. Amen. That's right. Mothers and dads don't know what to do. They're afraid if they get on their kids too hard, they'll leave home. And if they don't do it, they're going to take over their home. So they don't know what to do. Kids don't know how far to go. I'm telling you, we all need to take hands, and go to Jesus. Thank God He knows how to handle every situation. He's the master of every situation. Well, I've gone over 10 minutes besides the time you give me, but that's still just 20. Why was it better, you reckon, to stay with the ship? That's what Paul said. He said, stay with the ship. Don't jump overboard. Why, do you reckon? Well, because of the captain. Amen. Because of the captain. Boy, it makes a lot of difference, don't it? But because of who the captain is. The Bible said in Hebrews 2:10, He, Jesus, is the captain of our salvation. Thank God we've got a good captain. Amen. Got a good captain. Now praise God for that. Better to stay with the ship because of our captain. Amen. Man at the helm of the ship, and he's having an awful, awful hard time guiding the ship. The waters were rough. The little boy was just running around playing like nothing is happening, nothing's going on. After a while, somebody said, aren't you afraid? He said, no, my dad is the captain of the ship. He knows what he's doing. Amen. I'm telling you tonight that it's better off to stay with the ship because who the captain is? As our captain, he is to make the decisions. We are just to follow him. Amen. Not left up to us to make the decisions. That's his job. Amen. He gives you a job to do. He's supposed to qualify you to do it. He's supposed to give you the equipment to do it with. Amen. Is that right? Better to stay with ship because of the captain. Amen. Because of the captain of our salvation. And he makes the right decisions. He said to obey his brethren. Then is our captain. Thank God. He knows how much cargo we can safely carry. Amen. He knows when we've got rid of enough. He knows. And I praise God for that. I praise God for that. The Bible said in Hebrews 12:1, get rid of everything that's bothering you. And on this ship, they got rid of everything. In other words, they got rid of the weights, necessary things, and then the sins that were necessary. Got rid of all of them, those things that weren't necessary and things that were. Got rid of all of them. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Somebody said, do you have to live that kind of a life to get to heaven? No. But I'm going to tell you something. The more you give up for Jesus, the better off you're going to like Him. Amen. The better off you're going to enjoy serving Him. Amen. The better off you're going to enjoy serving Him. Things that you know that are wrong, that's keeping you from fully enjoying yourself, you ought to quit them. Amen. You ought to quit them. You ought to give in to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He knows how much we can safely carry. Amen. And then as our captain, thank God, He knows where all the rough spots are at. So you're a lot better off just not to jump overboard and stay with the ship. Amen. You get out there floundering around, you don't know what's liable to happen. Amen. You don't know. You may land on a slippery rock and be gone. But if you're still on the ship, thank God the good captain's there. And he knows, I said, he knows, Jimmy, where every rough spot is. Amen. You know why? Brother Creighton, he's already been there. He's already been through that. Are you trying to tunnel through some mountains tonight? Why don't you get him? He's already been through that. Amen. Are you out on the ocean tonight, just floundering around, feel like you're about to go under? Why don't you go with the captain? He knows how deep the water is. He knows how slippery the slippery places is. And he's ready and willing and able to help us. Amen. Aren't you glad? Look up here. Aren't you glad that he knows where the rough spots are at? Amen. If you get a guide, if you go to Florida fishing sometime and you're going to get a guide, if you can get one, you can go 300, 400 miles. You know they've got to learn on somebody. But you want somebody who's got some experience. Amen. Is that right? You look at this fellow, if he looks like he's about 16 or 18, you call an older man and say, hey, has he ever been out there before? No, but he's learning. He'll do you a good job. Yeah, but we can go 400 miles. We want somebody that's been here. Amen. Isn't that the way we are? It ought to be. We ought to want the Lord to our captain, thank God, to be on. We ought to want to be on ship with him. If you jump overboard, if you forfeit all this. If you jump overboard, you're going to get in trouble. That's all there is to it. Amen. Well, he knows what, as our captain, he's to make the decisions. And then he knows how much cargo we can safely carry. And he tells us to get rid of the necessary things, the unnecessary things. And then he knows where the rough spots are before we get there. And then as our captain, he knows it. I'm like somebody said up here a while ago, I don't think you're enjoying this half much now, but I'm enjoying it so much, I'm not going to even worry about you. Amen. As our captain, he knows where we're going. I'm not to question him. I'm just to follow him. Amen. Some through great trials, some through the blood, some through the flood. But he leads us on. Amen. And as our captain, he knows just exactly how far it is home. Amen. He knows where it's at. He knows about when we're going to arrive. So he's not too much bothered. Amen. He knows the arriving hour. I'm not talking about the Son. I'm talking about God the Father. And then another reason we want to stay with the ship and not jump overboard. If we jump overboard, we're liable to cause a panic. Amen. If we jump overboard, we're liable to cause a panic. And a lot of folks get hurt. A lot of folks get drowned. Amen. That shouldn't have drowned because they were not as strong. And when they saw that strong brother or sister that they thought had everything in the know, when they saw them jump over and get their little life raft and jump over, well, that scared them to death. And then it just trickled on down. And they had a panic. And not many was left, maybe with a ship. Paul said, get your board, get your plank. But if you want to be saved, you stay with the ship. Don't jump in the water. You're going to get into a lot of trouble. Amen. It might cause a panic if we jump in the water and men would be destroyed. Amen. I've known of a dad. Listen, I'm not saying this to be smart. But I've known of a daddy or a mother get mad at the preacher, get mad at the church, and jump ship. Amen. The next thing you know, their little kids or their young people had jumped ship with them. Amen. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? I'll tell you what. If you've got kids who go to church with you, you ought to thank God for it. They may not be perfect children, but you ought to thank God for it.